Yeah, thank you, Brother Frank. A few weeks ago, I spoke to you about our best dreams. This morning, I want to talk to you about who will you become. Genesis chapter 37, 5 through 11 is where we're going to start. Who will you become? I think somehow we need to wake up and rediscover our dreams and our passions. One of the things I think the old devil is doing is he's taking young people and getting them away from their dream. Now, how many of you, when you were younger, you had a dream of something you wanted to become or something you wanted to do? Did I see your hand? You had a dream when you were younger, teenager, you got to thinking about life. Now, I know some of you wanted to be a cowboy, but that didn't work out. Or maybe you wanted to be a fireman, but that didn't work out. Or maybe you wanted to be a policeman, but that didn't work out. You know, all these little boys, that's what they want to become, isn't it? Want to become a fireman or a police officer. A cowboy. That's because that's the kind of stuff they're around, they see. But how many of you, again, honestly, you thought about this and you thought about your life and there was a partner you wanted to marry and there were kids you wanted to have and in your life you thought about, I'd like to have in my life a godly heritage. I'd really like to know God, go to church, be a part of the things of God. And then the old devil did something to you. Remember that? You had all these dreams and aspirations and wonderful things, and the devil did something to you. Everybody listen closely, guys. Don't be talking. We honestly had some ideas and desires, and then somehow, somewhere through life, the devil did something and ruined our dreams. But like the disciples in Jesus' time, you have so much to offer the world. I watch young people grow up for year after year after year in our Christian school. And I watch them grow, and as I watch them grow, I think, boy, God could use them in this area. Or God could use them in that area. And as I watch them, Brother Wolf, grow and develop, suddenly I also see something very disheartening. The devil gets a hold of them. And instead of becoming what God maybe had planned for them to become and do what God had them to do, something happens. And they listen to the voice of the evil one, the devil. And they go another direction. But like the disciples in Jesus' time, you and I have so much to offer the world. Our young people have so much to offer the world. Our young couples have so much to offer the world. You understand, in Jesus' day, with Jesus as their leader, the disciples were wide awake and focused on the opportunities provided to change their world. And before they knew it, the Bible said that these disciples had filled Jerusalem with their doctrine, and they had literally turned the world upside down for Christ. Now, just like those disciples, we have that ability. There's men and women, boys and girls in this fellowship, in this church, and those who listen by radio or later on sermonaudio.com who honestly have the ability to do something big for God. Maybe you've been asleep, though. Maybe you have never lived up to your potential. You may have unfulfilled dreams in your life and longings. By the way, if you're dead spiritually, if you've never been saved, never been born again, and that could be the problem, you thought you were saved, you thought you were born again, but maybe it's just that you've never been saved. You've never really been born again. And if you're dead, let Jesus Christ this morning raise you up and lift you up to a new life in Him. He can do it. He can do it. If you've been sleepwalking, maybe you're saved, maybe you're born again, but you've been sleepwalking. It's time to wake up and start dreaming about what the Lord wants you to become. You know, years ago, I probably told you this when I preached on my message, Our Best Dreams. I used to have dreams. They were not nightmares. They were not fantasies. They were dreams. I wanted God so to use me. As a 15-year-old boy, I wanted God to use me to preach. Somehow, Brother Ron, I just felt God wanted me to preach. You know, oh, it burned inside of me. I wanted to preach. I'd go up in my hayloft and in my haymow, and I'd quote scripture, and I had a whole list of scriptures that I had memorized, and I would re-quote those back to God every single day, probably 150 scriptures, and then I'd act like I was preaching, and I would say, oh God, please use me. I had such a dream, but God, I believe with all of my heart, God put that dream inside of me. It wasn't me, it was God that put that in me, and then I, with that dream and that desire, I created a desire to do something for God. As I yielded my life to God, it became to fruition. It happened. Before long, at age 16, I preached my first sermon, Time on Your Hands. Oh, I was so proud that I could preach and stand in that audience and preach. I preached 10 minutes. It seemed like an hour. It seemed like, man, I had flowed eloquently as I preached. And I thought, boy, now, that was pretty good, wasn't it? And I looked at the time. It was 10 minutes. I thought I'd preached a long time. But oh, God had placed inside of me. Now, listen, I know with all of my heart, Brother Rich, I know that God is not done with young people. If He did that to me, there's no doubt hundreds of young people all across America whom God has placed something in their heart. I want you to do something. I want to give you this dream. And yet they've allowed the devil to sap their dream and take away their vision. And they sit in churches, or sometimes now, Brother, they don't even sit in churches any longer. They sit now in bars, or they sit in the halls of prostitution. They sit somewhere where they're not supposed to be, because God wanted them to have the dream, but the old devil stole the dream away. I'm here to report to you this morning, don't you let the devil take away your dream. I have been very fortunate that I have asked God to fulfill that dream, and He has. What a blessing. There's a story in the Bible about a young man named Joseph. That's the story we read about in Genesis chapter 37. Joseph, you know. If you know Broadway, you know Joe. He's Broadway Joe. Say, preacher, what are you talking about? He's the guy with the multicolored coat. He looks like Broadway Joe. His brothers probably thought he was Broadway Joe. They hated him. In Genesis chapter 37, we discover that Joseph was Jacob's favorite son. One night after having a dream, he told the dream to his brothers. In the dream, his brothers' bundles of grain bowed down to Joseph's bundles of grain. They understood that Joseph felt like he would someday rule over them. They didn't like that much. Later, Joseph had another dream. And in that dream, if you'll read on, the sun, moon, and stars would bow down before him. Now, when he told his daddy that dream, his father was concerned and wondered what it meant. But ladies and gentlemen, his brothers were very angry. Now, let me tell you something, give you a little bit of wisdom here. If you do have a dream, if you're pondering the dream given to you by God, don't go around telling everybody that dream necessarily. God gives you a dream for your life, it will come to pass if you choose to courageously pursue it, not because you have to go around and act like a salesman and talk about it. Joseph acted like a salesman. He's going to talk about his dream. And all of a sudden, his brothers literally hated him, because he said, you're all going to bow down to me someday. Mom and Dad, you will too. Well, nobody likes that kind of thing. Now listen, if you have a dream and God's given you a dream, you don't have to go around bragging about and talking about it. You know, some folks have really messed up their dream because they've talked about it way too much and they had personal gain involved and not godly wisdom involved. What they were going to do and how they were going to do it. Joseph's trouble came because Joseph was immature. He created a relational divide and provoked huge jealousy. Part of the way God works in us is to He begins to give us dreams. Ladies and gentlemen, are you listening to me? He begins to give us dreams of lives we could live, or the people we could become if we would trust Him and live courageously. My heart always breaks when we get around family. So it generates these kinds of sermons. Because as we get around families, I know, for example, my daddy, who is now dead, and my mother, who's still alive, they had such dreams for their family. That all their family would be in church. That all of us would know God. That all of us would be happy serving the Lord. But that's not totally true what's happening in our family. I have some family members who are not saved. We were at my wife's family gathering. Lots of people there. Big family, but many of them do not know God. And it's so heart-rending because Dad, Rector, had dreams, no doubt, of his family serving God. But that's not unusual. So do you. All of you have dreams about your family serving God and going someday with you to heaven. But just because there's a heaven doesn't mean everybody gets to go there. We have to be prepared. Now, we aren't of the kind of nature of folks that say, well, everybody's going to go to heaven anyway, preacher. Don't worry about it. Everybody gets to go. That's not so. You have to be prepared to go. You have to be a saved child of God. Born again. If you're not saved, born again, you don't go. You go to the other place, which is called hell. Where the fire is not quenched. The worm dieth not. And there's a thirst forever. That's never satisfied. Joseph, because of his immaturity, got him in trouble. His brothers despised him and sought to destroy his dream. If you're not careful, you'll tell dreams to people who really don't care. And they'll try, instead of you being helped in your dream, they'll try to destroy your dream. Joseph's brothers despised him and hated him. They tried to destroy his dream. Once you have received a dream from God, once you get a dream from God, listen to me, I know I've done this in my life. Once you have a dream, refuse to give up. Don't give up that dream. That dream is going to come to pass no matter what opposition you face. In fact, if you go down to Genesis chapter 37, and let's find verse number 18, please. When they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And we will say some evil beast hath devoured him. We shall see what will become of his dreams. They hated him because of his dreams. And Reuben heard it, delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that we might rid him out of our hands to deliver him to his father again. And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. It doesn't seem like the dream's coming to pass right now. Joseph's in Egypt. Later on, Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery. He served one of the Pharaoh's officers. His master's wife kept trying to seduce him. But as you know, he kept refusing her advances. Angry at being scorned and falsely accused. She accused Joseph of raping her. Can you believe it? Now, this is the same guy with the dream. He's in jail now. He's in Pharaoh's house, and his wife begins to go after him. Joseph is strong. He doesn't give in. Then she said, he raped me. They threw him in prison. Doesn't sound like the dream's coming about right yet, does it? falsely accused Joseph of trying to rape her, and he was thrown into prison. While in prison, he befriended a fellow prisoner, and that fellow prisoner forgot all about Joseph, even though he said he wouldn't. After he was released, after years, in chapter 37 through 39 tell the story. After years, Joseph was called on to interpret another dream of Pharaoh that no one else could interpret. Because Joseph was given understanding by God, he not only explained Pharaoh's dream, but he had a plan to overcome the future drought. Joseph became the most powerful ruler in Egypt, second only to Pharaoh. Go down, if you will, please. And let's look at chapter 41. I want to read for you verse number 37. Now he was put into a pit. He was sold into slavery. He was taken to Pharaoh's house. He became master of that house. But the master's wife tried to seduce him. He wouldn't do it. He was thrown into prison. He spent some time in prison. And then chapter 41. Follow me down, if you will, to verse number 37. The thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this is a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God hath showed thee all this, after he interpreted the dream, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Suddenly God's plans beginning to come. The dream's beginning to be revealed now. Thou shalt be over my house. According to thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. Great lives are born out of great dreams, and often come through great sacrifice and great suffering. Our dreams that God places in us are a foretaste of our destiny. There is danger, I'm telling you, if we sacrifice character to accomplish the dreams, however. God does not want us to sacrifice our character for our dreams. We are in danger when getting there becomes the most important thing. Even when you have the right dream, you can make the wrong choices. There's some young preachers that started when I started preaching. And we all had a kind of a dream. A bunch of us young preachers, we enjoyed talking about our dream of someday preaching. But some of them got so tied up, Brother Chuck, in wanting to make money. Wanted to have things. They wanted to drive the big Cadillacs. I'm a preacher. Wear the shark skin suits of $250, $400, $500. They wanted to get the big offerings. And now all of a sudden, you see, they had a dream. But don't sacrifice character to get to your dream. Some of us, if we're not careful, we'll sacrifice character in order to get what we want. We'll stomp on people to get what we want. That's not how God wants it done. Some of these fellows now are not even any longer in the ministry. They're not even in church anymore. Some of them have spent time in jail for embezzlement, crooked dealings. All men of God, listen, who had dreams, but sacrificed their dreams on the altar of ease and luxury and what I want out of life. Do you realize, everyone in this building this morning, what we want out of life is not really important. What is important is what God wants us to have out of life. And what is God's dream for my life? And what does God want me to become? I want to become what God wants me to become. Then and only then will I be happy. And then and only then will I be prosperous. And then and only then will I be a healthy man. I've got to do what God wants me to do. Oh, if we could ever get that lesson across to everybody. It's what God wants. Great lives are born out of great dreams. The way to work out your dreams is to become the person God then wants you to be. Joseph went on a long journey and a lot of pain, and his dream was a foretaste of his destiny. See, your dreams are the product of your longings. It's a portrait of your potential. It's a promise of your future. You know, your dreams are God's way of whispering into your soul. Listen to this. There's more to you than you know. There's more to you than you know, everybody. God's trying to whisper in your ear this morning. You know, we're coming to the end of a year, starting of another year. We've just gotten through Thanksgiving. Now we're coming to Christmas. God wants you to be somebody for Him. And the God of heaven is whispering right now, there is more to you than you know. There's more available to you than you can imagine. There's an extraordinary life awaiting if you would just trust me. Can I influence you enough to say, dear God, this morning I want to come and I want to trust you. There's more about my life than I've ever known. God, I'm finally getting the drift. Give yourself to God. It's a wonderful truth that you can. But the question is, what can you see? Are you living a nightmare? Or are you lost in a fantasy? Because you're afraid there's nothing meaningful inside of you? Are you paralyzed somehow because you don't really believe God made you extraordinarily and has planned for you a future worth getting up for this morning? See, some folks say, I can't hardly get out of bed, preacher. We're around family who it's depressing sometimes. I don't even know why I get up anymore. They have nothing more. But there's more in you. God's got something for you. Don't laugh it away. Don't talk it away. Don't ignore what God's doing. Say, God, I'm available. I'll give myself to you. I want to become the success you want me to be. We need the community of faith. I'm telling you, that's why we need church. For love and support, sometimes we are blind to ourselves. We don't even see our potential. We don't see our dream that God has for us. Our fear of our inadequacy is masked by arrogance sometimes and indifference. Sometimes because we don't see, we become arrogant, and sometimes we become indifferent. That's why some folks act the way they do. That's why they're so indifferent acting. They don't see any potential that they have. They don't see any dream. They have nothing to dream about. So they get what's called indifferent. Oh, try to make me come to church. Go ahead, try to make me. I just don't want to come. Doesn't do me any good anyway. Well, then they get real arrogant. Well, I don't need church. I've got my own way of thinking about things, and I don't need anybody preaching to me. We either get indifferent or we get arrogant. You know why? Because our dream is gone. I've never been that way. I've never been indignant and arrogant, and I've never been indifferent. I've always wanted God to do something with me. That's how you need to operate. God wants to be in your life. You were created in the likeness and the image of God as a broken and messed up as you were. God sees you what you can become. You know, some of you might say, yeah, but I've been broken. I've been messed up, preacher. All of us have been broken and messed up. Come on, I need a hearty amen right there. All of us have been broken and messed up. There's not a perfect one sitting here this morning. Everybody here, including this preacher, has been broken and messed up. But God saw something. You know why? Because He made you. And when He made you with a dream. Don't you let the devil take your dream. Don't let your business associates and your friends and your family steal your dream. Get you a dream. Let God bless it. A dream needs a person. You see, a dream has to have a person to bring it to life. If there's never a person, I can't ever have the dream come to life. What kind of a person do you need to become for your dream to come to life? My second point, I'm only going to three, so hang in there with me. Number one was God gives God-sized dreams to people with God-shaped hearts, like Joseph. Number two, what are you to embrace, I wonder? What should I embrace? God gives God-sized dreams to people with God-shaped hearts. And what are you then to embrace? Come on, we're coming to the end of the year, going to the next year. We're going to embrace something. We're going to do something for God. There was a moment in time when two men met and changed the course of history. Why don't you go with me to the book of Acts, chapter 10, please, very quickly. There was a moment in time when two men met and changed the course of history. Their names were Cornelius and Peter. We find them in the 10th chapter of the book of Acts. God had selected Peter to take the gospel to the Gentiles as well as be a leader of the church, and that was mainly made up, of course, of Jewish Christians. But this is outside of Peter's vision. Now, Peter didn't want to take the gospel to the Gentiles because Peter was a Jew. Remember that? God hears the prayer of a Roman named Cornelius who is doing all he knows to do to find God, but he can't find God. He's a good man, upright, but he's not saved. Now, through an angel messenger, Cornelius is told to send for Peter. You'll find all this in chapter 10, verses 1 through 16. I'll just tell you the story instead of reading all of it. In the meantime, Peter is praying. Now, remember, Cornelius is told to send for Peter. And in that meantime, God is working on Peter and he's praying. And Peter had a vision of a large sheet loaded with all sorts of animals, reptiles, birds, and so on, and unclean animals. Remember that story? Now, Peter is told to eat. And Peter refused to eat because it was not kosher. Little pun there. In other words, he's Jewish. He shouldn't eat unclean things, and so he shouldn't be eating. And he refused. He was told that if God said something was acceptable, then it was acceptable. Now, the vision was repeated three times because Peter's a slow learner. Come on, amen. It seems Peter has to be told three times a lot. How many times a cock crew? Oh. Here's the deal. That whole series of lessons with the food on the plate doesn't mean you can eat certain things and not eat certain things. That was all about going to the Gentiles. That's what that was all about. It wasn't about, okay, pork's okay to eat, pork is not okay to eat. And we still fight about that today, don't we? Hello. We fight about whether we should eat this meat or that meat or just these veggies or you know, according to Scripture, you can eat anything you want. Sorry, health conscious folks. Whatever God gave you is clean. That's good. Frank is so thankful that verse of Scripture is in the Bible. Frank has the worst diet in the world. I'm just kidding, Frank. It is on tape, though, isn't it? About that time, the messenger came from the house of Cornelius, and what was happening through Peter's vision was God was telling him, I am expanding your field of vision. Now, get this, please. Look at Acts chapter 10, verse 17 through 23. I'm not going to read it for time's sake, but I'm expanding your field of vision. I'm broadening out your sphere of concern. I'm giving you greater responsibility. There's more people to talk to. And whenever God gives you a dream, He raises His bar. God is not simply inspiring you to do more heroic things in life. He gives you a dream to expand the parameters of your concern. The Apostle James tells us that if we know to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. James chapter 4, verse 17. Once the dream is in your heart, it now becomes in your hand. Peter went with the men from Joppa to see Cornelius. Cornelius was a Gentile. Peter was a Jew, but he goes. God was expanding Peter's circle of influence. I wonder if your dream is too small, maybe. See, what am I to embrace, preacher? Here's a question of passion and compassion. The answer will determine the world that you will change with your little life. You cannot even begin to live the dream that God has for you until you stop caring about yourself. You'll never fulfill your dream until you stop caring so much for you. Your dreams create the space for the dreams of others. Let me give you a perfect proof of that. Years ago, back in 83, I had a dream. A dream of a Christian radio station. In fact, someone put on my desk where I went and approached the city and talked to them about the Christian radio station that I wanted to have in Clyde, Ohio. And I said, I don't want any rock music, filthy, vulgar words. I want Christian music that you can read by, that you can eat by, that you can go to sleep by. I wrote that back in 83. So I laid on my desk today. Didn't even know I was preaching this message. But let me show you how this worked. I had a dream. I had a vision. God placed it in my heart. Have a Christian radio station. Now, let me tell you, I've got a bunch of guys and a bunch of gals in my church right here who now have picked up that dream. And they've expanded that dream. Once the dream is in your heart, it's in your hands. But ladies and gentlemen, your dreams create the space for the dreams of others. And so then we hire men to run our radio station, to talk on the station, and expand the station. And now we're getting ready because Brian is so good at helping me. Preacher, we can go down to Coshocton and get a radio station in Coshocton, Ohio. And so my dream expanded and opened up a dream for him. And for all of us who work the radio, then we had a Christian school. And now we have teachers who want Christian school. And oh, God has expanded the dream. You see, ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you one more time. Your dream creates the space for the dreams of others. My wife can dream about buses because I said I'll buy the bus. So she dreams about filling it. Come on, amen. What are you dreaming about? Has the devil destroyed everything about your life? Don't let him do it. If you're going to create the life of your dreams, you're going to need to dream big so you can live big. When I came to Clyde, they had this little dinky building back here. In fact, none of those early buildings are still here. But those buildings were little. And my wife and I came with big aspirations and dreams. And everybody said it can't happen in Clyde. And God just keeps fulfilling the dream. And whether we keep everybody on the same team to fulfill the dream or not, I don't know. But God will give us more people to put the dream together. Because it's not my dream, it's the dream that God placed in my heart. I'm just discovering the dream. What has God placed in your heart that you need to open up and discover so you can be happy and fulfilled and thrilled and excited about real life? If your dream is what God wants it to be, you'll be blessed. If you're going to create the life of your dreams, you're going to need to dream big. Number three, and I'm finished. What must you face? If I've got a dream, what am I going to face? Your life will never become what you do not dare to imagine. Your life will never become what you do not dare to imagine. Boy, how we need Christian people to start imagining what God can do with me. How God could do something with me. You will not become everything your dream maybe consists of, but you'll never become anything you don't dream of. If you don't dream, you'll never become anything. Over the holiday season, I saw, we went so many places, and you just see people who have, now do you verify this with me? There are people out here on planet Earth that have no dream at all. I mean, it's terrible to see how they live, how they dress, how they act, where they sit, what they do. There's nothing going on. Nothing in life is exciting. Nothing's blessed. Nothing good happening. They're depressed. They're taking drugs. They're taking pills. They're sick all the time. They're frustrated. They're anxiety full. It's a mess. What must you face? As soon as you dream, you will be invaded by nightmares. Well, I can verify that. Every time, you know, the Coshocton thing's opening up, it's a dream. I've already had nightmares. The devil sees to it that you have nightmares. Come on, amen? As soon as you dream, you'll be invaded by nightmares. All the things you are afraid of will haunt you. Have you ever felt that, even though you believe in God? You don't believe God can fix your situation? It's amazing how we say we believe in God, we believe in the Bible, we believe in Jesus, but I don't believe God can get me out of this mess. Yeah, He can. Yes, He can. Let me take you to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 37. We just turn there real quickly. I'm not going to read necessarily any verse of scripture. I want you to look at Ezekiel. Anybody remember what Ezekiel 37 is talking about? Anybody here? Dry bones. The valley of dry bones. Ezekiel had a vision of a valley of dry bones. And in that particular vision, the Lord breathed into these dry bones and they came to life. We're in a dream, half baked, half lived, perhaps, half accomplished. We get really close to a dream and it doesn't happen, so what do? We give up. So many of our kids, I feel so sorry for some of our teenage kids, they get so close to having a dream fulfilled, and then they give up. They quit. And I was talking to Clark and Tara for the last 2 or 3 days before Thanksgiving break, and they're getting married, hopefully soon, and they went through some counseling sessions with me, and I just love to sit down with young couples who are getting married. They have all these aspirations and dreams and what they're going to do and how they're going to do it and how we're going to do our finance, how we're going to do our budget. And that's what you should do. You should have all that excitement like that. That's great. And they had that and they were so excited. You know, sometimes we get so close and then we give up. We give up on living the life of our dreams. But the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to have new breath breathed into us and new life into our dream. I'm going to close here with this. Maybe you have messed up an endless number of times. How many of you ever messed up? Come on, be honest with you. Just be honest. Let's do it one more time. How many of us have ever messed up? Yeah, we have. We've messed up. Endless number of times. How many of you had to start over again? Yeah. I'd almost like to ask somebody who's never messed up, but I hate to have you hypocrites sitting here. Because, brother, if you tell me you've never messed up, something's wrong. Because we've all messed up. All we like sheep have gone astray. Sometimes when we come out of the gate, we come crashing down, don't we? We even get started. We have nothing sometimes but dry bones, but God wants to ask you one more question. Can these dry bones live? Sometimes we have nothing but dry bones. And he wants to ask us, can these bones live? Ezekiel looked at that dry bones and he said, these can't live. God said, can they live? Ah, these can't live. Can they live, son? Ah. And God said, yes, they can. What must you face? What fears haunt you? What failures have marked your life? If there's a dream buried deep down inside your soul, and God is waiting to reconstruct it, put all the bones back together. God is waiting for you to recognize you cannot control the four winds, but He can. If He commands you to act, and you trust Him, you will do what He has created you then to do. Oh God, I have a dream. Don't let the devil steal your dream. But before you can ever live your dreams, you have to discover a dream worth living. If He commands you to act, you must trust Him. Because He's created you to do it. But before you'll ever live your dream, you have to discover that dream worth living. You know where that comes from? That comes from this Bible. Long before you took your first breath, you were a dream. A dream in the mind of the one who made you. You know who made you? God. He formed you. He created you in the womb. And when God created everyone in this room, God had a dream of what you would become someday. Now David is sitting right there. David E. Steph, I love you, my friend. And David suffers terribly bad in his physical body. And he would be glad to report to everybody here the reason is because of a life of sin. He's told me that face to face tons of times. You know what? I figure about David and I. David, I weep for you so often. Because God had a plan for Dave. He did. And David walked away from God's plan in his headstrong way to do his own thing. God's plan could not be accomplished in David's life. And finally, David realized God's plan. And then he said to God, God, I want to get right with you. But after 35 years of drugs and alcohol, permissive living, his body is torn apart. He goes back to God. He's not ashamed to tell that testimony. He wants that testimony told to others, in fact, so others could solve that problem before they get to where he's at. He said, Preacher, I wish I could live 35 years ago. I wish I could live the dream that God had for me. But it's too late. But God still has a dream for him yet. God still has a dream for you, Dave. Don't quit. Don't give up. To the day you take your last breath, God, I yield myself to you to accomplish the dream. Now give me whatever I have left. And he's doing that. When he can't hardly come, he comes. But what I don't get is young people are hearing the testimonies. I took a group of young boys one day over to a man who was dying in the nursing home. He was dying of terrible lung cancer. He was breathing like that. They said, Pastor, bring all those teenage boys to me. I've drank and I've smoked so much. I'm saved today, but I can't breathe. And I'm dying a horrible death. I took a number of my boys from this school to see him because Irv Andrews wanted us to do that. As those boys stood around that bed, that man talked as best he could. Listen, and he just, oh, it's horrible. Listen to the preacher. Listen to the man of God. Don't someday get to the place where I'm at today. And yet the devil will take our dreams and smash them. And CJ, it keeps happening to our teenagers all the time. CJ works so well with our teenage kids. They love him and he loves them. But I'm sure CJ's heart's broken just like mine is. You see young people coming in, they get in the church and suddenly they get an idea they want to do something for God and all of a sudden the devil takes them away. I see young couples doing the same thing. Young couples, if you get married someday, don't get away from God. Get closer to God. Let's stand together, please.